Title of the message is Living the Kingdom Life. Have you ever heard someone say, I'm just living the life? What do they mean when they say that? I'm living the life. It means that they feel like that they have the best that life has to offer. That they're enjoying things in life, that they're being blessed, they're doing what they dreamed about doing. I'm living the life. I have the pleasures of the world. Maybe I've got plenty of money. I have a career that I love, and I'm living the life. Well, I want to say this morning as we begin that I am so thankful to be living the life today. But I'm thankful to be living the kingdom life. And I would, by the help of the Lord, by the time we get finished here this morning, that I would that everyone be living the kingdom life. So if you're not living the kingdom life this morning, it is available for you. It doesn't mean you're going to leave with money in the bank. And it doesn't mean that you're going to go and have a big boat and have a vacation home in Florida. It doesn't mean that you're going to have all the things of this world. But there is something that is a far more value that you can leave here this morning with, that you can say, by the grace of God and by His love, I'm going home and I'm living the kingdom life. I'd like to begin over in the book of Matthew, and I am aware this morning that the foundation is just as or more important sometimes than, you know, the building. If you don't get the foundation right, you're going to have problems with the rest of the building. So we're going to spend a little bit of time with the foundation before we get to the main point today. But in the fourth chapter of Matthew, beginning with verse 17, it says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Have you ever wondered just, and I know we have the scripture, but have you ever wondered what would it have been like to listen to Jesus preach? And what did he preach? I have probably prayed at this point in my life thousands of times, Lord, if you were coming this morning in the flesh, what would you tell us? Lord, what is it you would tell us? What would you share? What would you preach to us? Well, this gives us a picture and tells us what Jesus was preaching. He was preaching to repent. Do you know that is still a needful message today, that men and women everywhere need to repent of their sin? They need to confess with their mouth, and they need in their heart to turn away from their sin and follow Jesus. Jesus preached a message of repentance. It's not a message this morning of joining the church of your choice. It's not about just coming to service on Sunday and being identified with a group or a fellowship. It's about repenting and turning away from your sin and living in newness of life. So Jesus went and preached a message of repentance and that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, it's not far off. This is not something that we're looking a long way off for the kingdom of God to come. It's at hand. Well, in the book of Matthew, in the 10th chapter, and I'm going to touch on a number of scriptures. Feel free, I think it's good on a normal basis to turn with your Bibles and follow the minister. I think that's good. This morning, if you want to just sit back and listen, that's all right, because I'm going to touch on a number of scriptures. But in the 10th chapter of Matthew, in the 7th verse, Jesus commissioned his disciples, and he told them what to go preach. And this is what he said, go and preach, saying. It's like, it's wonderful when the Lord gives a message that this is what I want you to say, because I'm not interested in men's opinions. I'm not interested in just telling a story to entertain for people to be able to go and say, well, that was really interesting. I'm not as interested in an interesting message this morning as I am something that will come from heaven that will affect and change your lives. So Jesus told his disciples, go And he said, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That lets me know it was pretty important, because that's what he told me to go preach. Tell people that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And as the Lord began to give me this message, I'll tell you how the enemy works. The enemy came along and said, but you know what? You did a Bible study on that last year on this subject of the kingdom. You know what the Lord let me know? I thought, it is what an honor to be a kingdom preacher. I want to be a kingdom preacher. That's what the Lord commissioned us to do, is go and preach the kingdom. And so I'm not ashamed that we had a study on some of this a year ago. Most of you weren't even here, probably don't remember it. Jesus told his disciples to take this message to the world, and I believe they preached it over and over and over again. Tell them that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so that brings the question of, when is this kingdom coming? And there's a lot of people and a lot of churches and a lot of theologies that will say that the kingdom of God is a time far off. We're waiting for Jesus to come and set up his kingdom on the earth. But I'm really interested in how Jesus answered that question. So in the book of Luke in the 9th chapter, in the 27th verse, Jesus said, I tell you a truth. That there be some standing here. Now, this was 2,000 years ago. There are some of you that are standing here talking to his disciples. He said, which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. That lets me know that the establishment of the kingdom of God was not something that was coming at a later date. The message of the gospel was, the kingdom is right here. It's right now. And then Jesus said, some of you are still going to be living when you see the kingdom of God. Well, so that tells us, that puts it kind of in place of when. So we say, where is it? So they were, the disciples and many people were looking for the Messiah to come and deliver them from the power of Rome and establish an earthly kingdom. Doesn't that sound a little familiar to people today still? We're looking for Jesus to come back and set up an earthly kingdom and deliver us from the earthly powers that be here and set up an earthly kingdom. But I'm still interested in what Jesus had to say about it. And he said, there's going to be those of you living that are going to see the kingdom of God, which means this, the kingdom of God has already been established. Thank the Lord. And so then in the book of Luke, chapter 17 and verse 20, when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered and said unto them, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here, lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is where? It's within you, Brother Max. The kingdom of God does not come with observation. People are saying, well, when is he going to come to Jerusalem? When is he going to set up a kingdom? And I just want to say, oh Lord, what did you say? And I will take what Jesus said to understand the prophecies that I don't understand. You understand the prophecies will never contradict what Jesus said. And Jesus said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, but he said, the kingdom of God is within you. So the question before us then is, do you have the kingdom of God within you this morning? Well, Jesus also said in John 18, verse 36, he said, my kingdom is not of what? Okay, let's do that again, because I want us to get hold of it. My kingdom is not of this world. And then he told us the reason. He said, if my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom from hence. Now is my kingdom. When Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood and then was resurrected that early that Sunday morning. And then 50 days later, the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. The kingdom of God was fully established at that point. We had access to the deliverance by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we had access to the infilling power of the Holy Spirit that we could go and live godly lives. The kingdom of God is within us. It is not something that is literal in the flesh. It is not something temporal. It's not something that comes with observation. The kingdom of God is something that is spiritual, that is within you. So let's back it up with Scripture. What is it? In the book of Romans, in the 14th chapter, in the 17th verse. For the kingdom of God, and I know you can quote it. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is not something of flesh. It is something of spirit. The kingdom of God are these three things, and I want you to remember it as we begin to get into this aspect. The kingdom of God is righteousness, and it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. So how can I access this kingdom? This kingdom that Jesus came and established. Now you notice I didn't say is going to establish. He established it. How do we access that kingdom this morning? Because there's a lot of things being said in the religious world about how to be a part of the church. We had a one, those of you that weren't here Wednesday night, you missed something good. But do you know one of the things that was touched on was that it's not in getting our names written down in an earthly book. Because we can write your name down and you can say, well, I'm a member of that church or that congregation. And do you know, this isn't the book that God is recognizing. This is not what God is looking. He's looking at how we're living our life. He's looking at if the blood of Jesus has been applied. He's looking to see if you have repented and turned away from your sin, living in righteousness and in holiness. So Jesus told us how to get this kingdom. In John chapter 3, verse 3, when he was talking to Nicodemus, Jesus said, except a man, what? Be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again. We can have all of the head knowledge. We can have all of the theology. We can have all of the standards, good though they may be. We can follow a list of things that, well, I don't go here and I don't watch that and I dress like this. But that's not going to gain you entrance into the kingdom by itself. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Have you been born again this morning? There are a lot of people that are in churches, chapel buildings today. There's a lot of people professing Christ with their mouth, but you know, unfortunately, there aren't a lot of people who have had a real born again experience. This is more than turning over a new leaf. This is more than saying, I'm going to try to do better. I'm going to try to be a better person. This is about a new birth. When a mother is expecting a child, you are waiting and you are looking. And the question is, has the baby been delivered? And there is either a yes or no answer to that question, right? They've either been delivered or they're not. The same thing applies to us spiritually. We have either been born again or we haven't. You may be in a congregation, you may be faithful, you may be diligent, you might dress modestly, you might not go to places you ought not go. But the question is, have you been born again? Have you had the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your life and deliver you from the power of sin? Have you turned from the world and embraced the cross of Christ and say, Lord, I'm going to follow you and I'm going to obey you and I'm going to love you? And there was a divine transformation that took place because I was born again. When I got on my knees, or when I was driving down the road, or when I came down to this altar, I came a sinner. But the Lord transformed my life, and there was a new birth. Have you experienced the new birth this morning? If you have not been born again, I want to encourage you this morning. I would that there be some deliveries today. I would that someone say, I've been coming and I've been apart, but I want to be born again. Something I can't do for myself. I can follow again. The local congregation knows this. I can follow a list on the board and I can embrace even the standards and the traditions, but that does not bring about a newborn experience. A newborn experience is something that only Jesus Christ can do when I open up my heart and He does something divine for me that I'm incapable of doing for myself. So that's how we access this wonderful kingdom of God. But what good is this? What good is this knowledge? What good is this kingdom? Righteousness, peace, and joy, if I just have a head knowledge, but I'm not living it. What good is it? We can have the theology. We can have the doctrine. We can even have the church history. But what good is it if I'm not living it? If people talk about it, but are you living it? So, do you know people talk about different aspects of life? They say, this is my married life. You've heard that expression? This is my church life. This is my home life. Do you know that all of those should come under the umbrella of the kingdom life? I don't want to have the kingdom life. It won't work. I don't want to have this outside of my married life and my home life. I want my home life. I want to be living the kingdom life. So here's my question. Are you living the kingdom life at home? Say, well, that's my work. That's kind of separate from all this spiritual things. That's my work life. Are you living the kingdom life at work? Are you living the kingdom life every day in every area of your life? Are you living the kingdom life? So then let's think a little bit more for just a few minutes about what is that kingdom life. It's righteousness. Are you living the life? Well, I know the life. There are people that are maybe very poor. You can say, well, I'm living a life of poverty. Have you heard that? That doesn't sound real attractive in and of itself. I'm living a life of poverty. If someone said, well, I'm living the life, and yes, we are to be servants one to another, but that's a different subject, a different context. You say, well, I'm living the life of a servant. Some say, well, my father is a king. I'm living the kingdom life. Where are you at spiritually this morning? Are you living the kingdom life? Is it more than just when you talk about church stuff? You know what I mean? Is it more than just when you get with someone and you have theological discussions? Are you living the life? What good is my understanding if I can't get along with my wife at home? What good is my understanding if I go out in business and I'm carnal and I cheat people in my business? What good is my testimony? What good is my head knowledge? What good is this knowledge when I go to bed at night and I feel condemnation and this sin is in my life? What good is my head knowledge? But when you live the life, there's a wonderful experience that you can have in Jesus Christ. Righteousness, by definition, means being right with God. That's what it means. It means right standing with God. So where is your standing this morning? Are you living the life? I'm standing right with God. Thank the Lord. I've been forgiven of my sin. The scripture in 1 Corinthians 15 says to awake to righteousness. You know, we can say, yeah, but we're all at service this morning. That's a message for the world. No, that's a message for us. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame. It was also mentioned Wednesday, I believe, Romans 6 was read. 18, he said, being then made free from sin, you become servants of righteousness. Living the life, he told us three aspects. Righteousness was the first one. Are you living the life this morning? You know, if you kind of hem-haw around and say, well, I'm trying. And I think so. I prayed. You know, I got saved 10 years ago or 20 years ago. That's not the question. Are you living the kingdom life? Are you living daily right with God? That you know your sins have been forgiven. And every day, Lord, I want to walk in your righteousness. I don't want to get swallowed up with the influences of the world and with the sinfulness that's out there. Lord, I want to stay awake and alert. And I want to walk in righteousness. Well, pure, holy, clean, and victorious. Are you living the life? I wish I had a little video I could show. I just wish you could all get a picture in your mind when I've seen people use that expression. And there's almost this like, I'm just living the life. How you doing? I'm living the life. You know what? If you ask me how I'm doing after service, you know what I'm going to tell you? You don't even have to ask me now. I'm going to tell everybody. I am living the kingdom life, thank God. It doesn't mean that I'm perfect, but it means I'm living the life. By the grace of God, that's my goal, that's my purpose, that's my desire, that's what's working. How are you doing? You want to testify to the world, this would be a good one to take home with you. When someone says, how are you doing? Said, I'm living the kingdom life. And they'll look and say, what do you mean? And then they've opened up the door for you to share with them your love of Jesus Christ and what he did for you. Righteousness, living in a place of holiness and purity without shame. That's living the kingdom life. And then he said peace. Do you know that peace by definition is rest? It's quietness. It's rest. The turmoil is gone. It doesn't mean we don't have stresses of life. That's not what it's talking about. It doesn't mean there aren't burdens that we carry. But it means that we are one with God. Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. There is a quiet rest when you have been washed in the blood of Jesus. That's living the kingdom life. Righteousness and peace. I'm at rest in my spirit. And then he said, joy. Do you know that joy is not just a feeling of happiness, but it is a deep, abiding gladness and confidence that is rooted in God's presence and his promises that are independent of circumstances. So even when life gets difficult, the joy of the Lord can still be there because my confidence is still in God. I have hope of a brighter tomorrow. I have hope that God is going to bring me through. I have hope in the faithfulness of God, and it brings this deep, abiding happiness that the world cannot take away. So the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it is righteousness, and it is peace, and it is joy in the Holy Ghost. And the scripture over in Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is your what? It's your strength. So what happens if we start losing the joy of the Lord? We start losing our strength. You realize it's true. When we start losing the joy of the Lord, we start getting weak spiritually, because the joy of the Lord is our confidence. And actually, what's very interesting is that word is very, very similar in the Greek to the word grace. Joy is very closely related to grace. In other words, it's not by circumstance or by merit, but it's by what God has done and is doing in my life. So as we conclude this morning, are you living the kingdom life? There's a yes or no answer to that question. If you're not living the kingdom life this morning, it is accessible to you. All of our head knowledge and all of our history and all of our background will do us no good unless we have been born again and we enter into this kingdom, that these things can be working in our life. And this is one of the reasons Jesus said, seek ye first what? The kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek His righteousness. Seek His peace. Seek His joy. And then He said, all of these things shall be added unto you. And I would do an injustice if I didn't add what the prodigal son's father said to the son. He said, it is the Father's good pleasure to do what? To give you the kingdom. If you're not living the kingdom life, I want you to know God wants you to have it. God wants you to enjoy it. And if you'll allow me this morning to personalize a little bit more, I've been very burdened for marriages. I've been very burdened of late for homes. And I thought, what would it be like if everyone, not just here, but just everyone that hears the gospel, would look at their wife and say, honey, let's go home and let's live the kingdom life together. Let's go home and live the kingdom life. Children, let's go home, let's live the kingdom life. No more striving, no more bitterness, no more unforgiveness. No more living selfishly. No more bickering. But Lord, honey, let's go live the kingdom life together. Children, let's let our home be a reflection of the kingdom. Let's let our home, let's get rid of all the things that are not right and impure and the influences of the world. And let our home be a haven of godliness. Let's live the kingdom life. And see, the kingdom life doesn't start here in this chapel. Y'all know that, right? It starts at home. But it starts right here in my heart. That I can't do anything about my wife or even about you all, but I can open up my heart and say, Lord, I want to be born again if I haven't been. And Lord, I want to seek your kingdom. And then my work life, my church life, and my home life will all be under the umbrella of living the kingdom life. Let's stand and have a song. And as we sing this morning, if the Lord has touched your heart and there's anyone here today that would like to come and talk to the Lord to draw closer to Him, or someone that maybe just needs to be born again, I want to give you a special invitation today. Don't worry about anyone here. Don't worry about what anybody's going to think. You might be saved, and this is what the devil will say. But if you go pray, then people are going to think you're not saved. We're not interested in what anybody thinks. This is a place to come and talk to the Lord Jesus. And if the Lord has talked to you, just I want to encourage you to open up your heart, because I want you all to be blessed this morning, and I want us all to live the kingdom life together. May God bless you. Amen.